We come to Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 33. We come to consider how the gospel goes to the Gentiles. Now, we know that the Great Commission, as recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, says we are to go and make disciples of all the nations. And the Great Commission is also given elsewhere, and Acts chapter 1 is one of those places where it is given. And in verse 8 we are told, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." In our studies of the book of Acts until this point, we have seen how the gospel went to the Jews. Then it went to the Samaritans, who were half-caste, as it were. They were the outcome of the marriage of the Jews with the Gentiles. And we now come to this passage where the gospel went to the Gentiles for the first time. Remember that we are still in the early period of the Gospel Age. The Gospel Age was prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament times. In the Old Testament times, the prophets were pointing to the coming of the Savior who would bring about, who would inaugurate the New Testament Age. This New Testament Age is special in the sense that in this period of time, the gospel, the good news of salvation through this Savior, would be spread to all nations. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This has been made clear in the prophecy of Joel, as quoted by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this gospel age begins with celebration, and it will end with celebration. It began with signs and wonders and miracles performed in the midst of God's people. And because it was to mark the beginning of the gospel age, we would not expect these signs and wonders and miracles to continue throughout the whole of the gospel age. Otherwise, the purpose of marking the beginning of this special age would be lost. Then when Christ comes to end this gospel age and to judge the world, his return will be accompanied by signs and wonders and miracles, but no more in the midst of God's people. Instead, it will be in the heavenly realms. The sun will turn dark, the moon into blood, and the stars will be moved out of place. There will be great upheavals in the heavenly realm. So Peter made it known in his quotation of Joel's prophecy that this is what would happen. And because we are still studying the beginning period, the beginning of this gospel age, we would expect that there would be signs, wonders, and miracles. So as we come to today's passage, this evening's passage, Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 33, we must understand that there would be signs, wonders, and miracles, which we do not expect to find further down into the gospel age. But what we should learn from today's passage are the underlying principles that hold for all time throughout this gospel age. So what should we learn from this passage today? From this passage, we are going to see how Cornelius and his household benefited from the gospel. And similarly, if you are to benefit from the gospel, you must learn from Cornelius and his household. And from this passage, we are going to draw out the lesson of the necessity of being sensitive to God's leading to benefit from the gospel. How is this sensitivity to God's leading manifested? If you are really sensitive to God's leading, then this 3 marks seen in Cornelius' life would be seen in you as well. For you to benefit from the gospel in the same way that Cornelius and his household benefited from the gospel, you must have that spiritual sensitivity shown by these 3 characteristics. Firstly, we note that Cornelius acted on what he knew. We read from verse 2 that this was a man who was devout, who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. He had not known of Jesus Christ. He had only gone to the temple to worship Jehovah, the God of the Jews. He was a high-ranking officer. He had high position and honor from the people. But he was not a proud man. Instead, he was a devout man. He was humble in heart. He was willing to come and worship the God of a foreign nation. He had come to realize that the pagan gods gave him no satisfaction. And he therefore went to the temple to listen to the Jews, to the scriptures. He had consulted the Jewish people, and he was actually worshipping the God of the Jews. And based on what he understood, he acted. He was not one who wanted his mind tickled, his ears tickled. No, he was not just building up head knowledge. No, instead he acted on what he knew. God's word in the Old Testament clearly shows to us that there is only one true God who created the heavens and the earth, who is still in control of all things. God's word, as found in the Old Testament, pointed to the coming of the Savior, the Messiah, and the Jews were looking forward to that coming Messiah. Cornelius would have understood all this and was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. God's word in the Old Testament clearly shows that you must live a righteous life in obedience to God's law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments. Cornelius was putting into practice what he learned from the Old Testament. He was not fully with the Jews yet. He was a Gentile. He was an adherent at the temple. The next stage would be to have himself circumcised so that he became a proselyte. He was obviously working towards that. He was obviously moving in that direction. But God intervened. What is to be noted at this point is that this man acted on what he knew. And then an angel of God came and appeared to him to speak to him. Remember that we are in the early period of the gospel age. Therefore, we are not surprised to read about the angel coming to speak to him. Today, God does not speak to us by angels. Instead, his word is already complete. And therefore, we expect God to speak by the power of his Spirit to our hearts through his word. The word of God is sufficient to reveal to us the will of God. But at the time when Cornelius was spoken to by the angel, the New Testament wasn't completely written yet. The Bible was not yet complete. And the angel of God therefore appeared to him and spoke to him and told him what to do. He told him to send men to Joppa. He was in Caesarea towards the north. He was told to send men to go to the southern city of Joppa, some 40 kilometers away, to seek out a man by the name of Simon Peter, who was staying with Simon the tanner. And Cornelius did exactly what the angel told him to do. We are told he got together 3 men. And in verse 7, we are told that 2 of these men were his household servants. The 3rd was a devout soldier, a soldier who obviously had been influenced by Cornelius in the right direction. Cornelius had a group of soldiers serving him closely, and this was one of the soldiers. And along the way, this soldier had seen Cornelius' life and had been taught by Cornelius, and he himself was a devout man. So Cornelius sent these three men to seek out Simon Peter. Again, you see, that Cornelius acted upon what he knew. As the will of God became known to him, he would act. As the will of God was made known to him, he would act. Here was a man who was ready to act upon what he knew. And that, of course, speaks to us. It is no good claiming that you are interested in Christian things if you are not prepared to hear what God has to say to you. If you are not prepared to come and hear the preaching of His Word. If you are not prepared to find out what the Bible says. If you are really serious about spiritual things, then come and hear what the Word of God says. And come and hear with a view of understanding God's will. And once you have understood, obey it. There are those who do not show interest in hearing God's Word. There are those who hear God's Word but do not care what they are hearing. They do not make the effort to understand. There are those who have understood but have not obeyed. Okay? So you must see that it is necessary for you to have that desire to know God's will for your life and to act upon it. You do not have to wait until you know everything that is found in the Bible before you make up your mind to obey God. There are some people who say, I still need time. See? You want every single question that arises in your mind to be answered before you would act. But no, you must act on what you already know. As you know, you must act. As you know, you must act. As God's Word is revealed to you, you must act. And it is this that should characterize those who finally come to faith in Jesus Christ. If you have such a spirit from the beginning, it will continue to the end. And you find there are those who profess to be Christians. When they learn something new, which is not in accordance to their taste, they would not obey. They would pick and choose to obey those things they are comfortable with. Now that does not speak well for you. You will be a poor witness for Christ. There are many non-Christians hungering for God's Word. They are finding out more, and they have not come to faith yet, but they are close to coming to faith in Christ. Along the way, they observe your life, and they see that you are not a person who are truly serious about obeying God's Word. Now, what sort of witness are you for Christ? You are a stumbling block to people. See? Now, in what way have you not obeyed Christ? Consider your own life. In recent days, what has God's Word been saying to you? To some of us, it may be a besetting sin, a sin that keeps troubling us, that no one else knows of. You know that God's Word has somehow addressed you in that matter. Now, when are you going to perform surgery upon yourself, upon that sin? Excise that tumor out of your life. Otherwise, you are going to be harmed by it. There are others whose relationship with family members and perhaps with your spouse have not been right. In recent days, the Word of God has been speaking to you on this matter. And if you are not willing to act upon what God's Word says to you, you are a poor specimen of a Christian. You are not being a good witness in this area. You may be stumbling more people than you realize. To others, it may be simply a matter of greater discipline in your life, such as sleeping earlier on Saturday so that on Sunday morning you can wake up in time to come to church. Each time that you are late for church, not only is your conscience not clearer, but you are causing others to be stumbled. There are those who are observing. They have eyes to see. They are noticing things. You are hoping that they wouldn't notice, but they have noticed. And that is not good. And it's not good for you to know that God's word commands you to regularly meet with His people. It is a teaching of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25 tells us not to follow those who are irregular in the meetings of the church. And here you are following exactly such people. You are not regular in church, and therefore you are not putting into practice what God is saying to you. Many more examples can be used to bring home the point. But I hope you can see that these are the many areas in which we have failed to put into practice what God is saying to us. Now, how are you going to be blessed by God if you are not willing to practice what you have already known? What is the point of claiming that you want to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when what you have already known you are not prepared to act upon? So here you see a different spirit in Cornelius. He acted upon what he knew. And as he acted upon what he knew, God revealed more things to him. That is always the way of God. He does not want to swarm you with so much knowledge to the extent that you are unable to bear it up. Instead, as you eat and digest, you become strong. And as you become strong, you are able to take more food. And as you eat and digest, you become stronger. Okay? And so also in the area of Christian service, those who are faithful in little will be faithful in much. Those who acted upon the opportunity God has given to you to serve Him will be given more opportunities to serve Him. Those who take the first step of faith will be led further into the other steps. And for as long as you don't act upon what you already know, you will not progress. So Cornelius was a man who acted on what he knew. Secondly, Cornelius heard a faithful preacher. He sought out Simon Peter. When it was revealed to him that he should seek out this man, he went to seek out this man and no other. All this while, he had had teachers among the Jews. He had heard the rabbis. He had heard the Jewish teachers in the temple. He had perhaps even consulted some other people. He could have heard of other Christian teachers elsewhere. But at this point in time, he was told to specifically seek out Simon Peter. Now, why is that important? It is to show to us that what is revealed in scriptures concerning those whom we must learn from, that you must act upon. See, the scripture tells us that there are certain people who are appointed by God in the church to be ministers of His word. There are certain characteristics about them. And it is to your good that you heed the word of God and seek out such teachers of the word. There are too many false teachers around. There are too many who would do things their own way. There are even those whom we would not question as far as their faith is concerned, but who would not do things in God's way. And you would be harmed in some ways to follow such people. But Cornelius was not going to do that. He was going to follow the revealed will of God. He was going to seek out the man that has been pointed out. And furthermore, you note that when Peter was found, he was found in the midst of God's people. If you were to turn back with me to the earlier chapter, and in verse 32 we read, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda." See? And then from there he went to Joppa, as you can see in verse 42, and he became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So it was that he spent many days in Joppa with Simon the Tanner. So he was in Lydda, he moved on to Joppa. When he was in Lydda, he was with the church there. When he was in Joppa, he was with the church there. And when Peter was going to Cornelius, you note in verse 23, then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So the point I'm making is that Peter was not acting on his own. He was a man truly equipped by God and truly sent out by God. And he was engaged in the work of God when he was found. So he was not a lone ranger starting his own company, his own organization, doing his own thing in the name of God. He was not such a man. Instead, he was a man firmly established in the church of Jerusalem. He was doing God's work when he was visiting these various other congregations. And when he was met by Cornelius' man, he was in the company of the church. And therefore, the church, God's people, are the best people to confirm the call of a man. If you want to listen to a preacher, don't simply go to anyone who proclaim themselves to be a teacher of God's word. You go to one who can do you good by expounding God's word. You go to one who has been appointed by God to help you in the understanding of God's word. So hear faithful preachers. You may be able to tell whether they are faithful preachers or not by asking the question, are they properly appointed according to God's word? And are they serving God in the company of God's people? Then, the third thing to note about Cornelius and his household is that there was a hunger for God's word. Verse 17 to verse 33, you note, Cornelius, when he saw Peter coming, was so overwhelmed because the angel of God had already spoken to him earlier. You must remember that. And for one to be spoken to by an angel, it must have been quite a traumatic experience, as you can see. In verse 3, look again, about the ninth hour, the Jews counted the time from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 in the evening. So the ninth hour would be 3 in the afternoon, when the evening sacrifice was going to be offered at the temple. At that time, in the ninth hour, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? This man was shaken. And God then revealed by his angel what he was to do. So Cornelius was already overwhelmed by this gracious encounter with God through the angel. And when Simon, who represented that same God, arrived, you can imagine that Cornelius' heart was so full of reverence towards God and full of the sense of unworthiness in himself, such that when Peter came in, he just bowed down as though he was worshipping Peter. And Peter knew that this man was a devout man because the angel of God had revealed it to him as well about Cornelius. And he knew, therefore, that Cornelius wasn't intending to worship him as he would worship God. But Peter still felt that the reverence shown to him was excessive. He was only a man. So he told Cornelius, please get up. I'm only a man. See? Such was the heart of Cornelius. And what had Cornelius done? You look at verse 24. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Cornelius saw this as an important occasion, so important that he was not going to enjoy it himself or benefit from it himself. Now, have you experienced occasions when you are traveling somewhere and you see the beautiful scenery, and you begin to wish that your loved ones would be with you, See, you wish that they were present with you at that time to enjoy the sin as well. And Cornelius was experiencing something like that. He knew that the occasion was so important and so special, and he was going to derive great benefit out of the occasion, and he was not going to enjoy it himself. He gathered the people together, all his friends who were willing to come, all his relatives, he got them together. So when Peter arrived, he saw that the house was already crowded with people. See? And furthermore, as we read on, you discover in verse 33, after Peter asked him, "Why have you sent me?" Cornelius explained what had happened. Now, before we proceed a little further, you pause and consider the question of Peter in verse 29. "Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me?" You think Peter was ignorant totally of why Cornelius has called him? Peter was a preacher of the gospel. He was on this trip doing gospel work. See, God had set him apart to be an apostle to the Jews, just as he had set Paul aside as an apostle to the Gentiles. If Peter had been set aside by God for this work of being a minister of the gospel, if he was called upon at a point when he was busy doing ministry for God, do you think he did not have an idea of why he was called upon at this time? And furthermore, when the angel of God revealed that this man was coming to him, the angel of God was actually revealing more than what is recorded. What is recorded in Scripture is often the summarized version of what actually transpired. So, just as in the case of Ananias dealing with Saul, when Ananias was told to see this man Saul, Ananias certainly knew that this Saul had come to faith. So here we would expect that Peter had an idea why he was sent. He was sent there to preach the gospel in order to lead Cornelius at least, and if possible, his whole household to faith. He knew that that was what he was going to do. But still, he would like to listen to Cornelius, what he had to say. And listening to Cornelius had the advantage of revealing to what extent Cornelius knew the Word of God and how ready he was to receive the things that Peter was going to teach him and to discern if there is any hindrance in the life of Cornelius. Now, some people are too full of themselves. Some people are so self-righteous. Some people take pride in a high position. See, some people take pride in their knowledge or their high degree. Now, when you talk to people and make them talk, before you say too much, you make them talk, you come to realize that, hey, this person is having this problem here, and this person needed to be dealt with in this area. So it is good to make them talk first. It is good to listen to them first. And this was exactly what Peter did. And as he listened to Cornelius, he came to realize this was truly a devout man who was not proud about his position, who was not proud about the authority he had over other people. He was a humble man. And he had sufficient knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures up to that point. He was ready to hear that the Savior promised in the Old Testament had come. He was ready to hear how this Savior has come to save his people. In other words, he was ready to hear Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that we shall consider, God willing, in the next message. But up to this point, we just want to note that by asking Cornelius that question, Peter was able to listen to what Cornelius said, and through hearing what Cornelius said, he came to realize that this man was ready to receive the gospel. And note the words of Cornelius in verse 33. "So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God." That is striking. We are all present before God. There is the sense of the presence of God. with Peter, the preacher sent out to preach the gospel, present in his midst. He regarded it as being the presence of God. Then he went on to say, they are present before God to hear all things. Or in some version it says, everything. See? That God has commanded you to say. So this was a man who was not going to pick what he liked to hear. He was willing and ready to hear whatever Peter had to say, because he was going to take what Peter said as being from God. Such was the depth of the hunger of this man. He had yearned to know the Savior for so long. He had wanted to know the way of salvation for so long. He had wanted God to be his God for so long. See, here was a spiritual hunger in the man. He truly hungered to hear God's word from the mouth of Peter. The question is, do you have such a hunger for God's word? You who want to be blessed by God, you who want to be a true Christian, you who want to know the true God, have you that hunger for his word? Okay. So Cornelius was finally blessed with salvation as Peter preached Jesus Christ, and how it is that he saved his people by his death on the cross, how he rose from the dead, how he is the Savior appointed by God. Cornelius and his household all just drank everything in. They just received what they heard, and they committed their lives to the Lord. And it was on that occasion that they were all baptized, as you can see in verse 48, that he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. In other words, they were baptized because they had soundly come to faith in the Lord. Will this be your experience here tonight? Do you have these three marks shown in the life of Cornelius? Namely, that he acted on what he knew, he heard faithful preachers, and he hungered for God's word. If these three characteristics are found in you, I can say clearly to you that you are very near the kingdom of God. And may it be that tonight will be the night when God moves in your heart. God arrests you. God takes hold of you. God brings you to come to faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. For it is Christ alone who is the Savior of the world. And Christ's death on the cross alone is the means by which we are to be forgiven of our sins. So come if you are really serious about spiritual things. Come tonight, come to Jesus Christ. He alone will be able to save you. May God deal mercifully with us all.